What if I told you that for a high-performing entrepreneur, unmanaged ADHD doesn't just mean, a messy desk or some missed deadlines?
Right. I mean, people usually just think of it as a productivity issue.
Exactly. But it actually reduces their life expectancy by like 7 to 9 years.
Yeah, that is just a genuinely startling statistic to see right at the top of the research.
It really is. And well, that is exactly why we are jumping straight into this deep dive today.
Because when you hear the word neurodiversity, mortality rates aren't usually the very first thing that come to mind.
No, absolutely not. But we're looking at a stack of highly confidential clinical and strategic documents today that prove this isn't just a focus problem.
Right, it is a systemic biological meltdown.
Yeah. And our sources today are just a wild mix. We have these raw, like almost uncomfortably confessional transcripts from a founder's podcast called Never in Reverse.
Which is a tough listen,
Dude,
honestly.
for sure. And then on the other end, we have this heavy, dense academic literature on synergetics and nonlinear dynamic
Yeah,
systems.
very complex stuff.
Yeah, and bridging those two extremes, we have the internal strategy documents from the Vita Reba Clinic in Zurich.
They're mapping out this highly specific framework they've branded the Surf Your Life program, or the SYL system.
Right, which operates out of the Swiss Longevity Hub. And the mission here is to explore how Vita Reba is completely flipping the script on neurodiversity.
Yeah, the core philosophy in these documents is that we basically need to stop treating high performers like they're broken machines with a focus deficit.
Exactly. Instead, they treat them as these complex, elite biological systems that just lack the proper infrastructure to thrive.
Right, so whether you are a startup founder pushing the absolute limits of your capacity, or maybe someone who was recently diagnosed with ADHD later in life.
Or even if you're just insanely curious about peak human performance.
Yeah, exactly. This deep dive is going to fundamentally change how you view the connection between your biology, your environment, and your ultimate success.
But, to really understand what Vita Reba is trying to do, we have to look at the silent collapse they're actually trying to prevent, right?
Absolutely. The medical solution just doesn't make any sense until you understand the exact physical pain point.
And there is no clearer picture of that pain point than the transcript we have from that Never in Reverse podcast.
Oh, man. You read this transcript and it is just raw exhaustion.
It really is. The host describes something the Vita Reba documents refer to as the extraction cycle.
Right, this endless punishing loop.
Yeah, where founders are working nonstop, trying to outperform everyone in the room just to feel like a baseline level of security.
And to keep that frantic pace, they are aggressively masking their exhaustion.
Pounding coffee all day just to stay amped up.
Yeah, exactly. And then relying on alcohol at night just to force their nervous system to actually shut down so they can sleep.
It's literally a physiological debt cycle. You're borrowing energy from tomorrow to pay for today.
And the interest rates on that debt are compounding fast.
Yeah. And the podcast highlights the devastating ripple effect this has. The clinical documents call it the partner burden.
That part was brutal to read. The podcast host openly talks about the intense resentment building at home.
Yeah, he shed this heartbreaking quote from his spouse, who finally just looked at him and said, I didn't think I signed up for this long.
Just gut-wrenching. You have a person who is wildly successful on paper, commanding a company, but their personal ecosystem is in total free fall.
Right. And, the standard medical approach usually looks at that entire chaotic picture and says, well, you have ADHD. Here is a stimulant pill for your focus.
Maybe try a sleeping pill at night and
Yeah.
download a calendar app.
Exactly. But the clinical reality in these sources paints a completely different, much darker picture. It's not just a behavioral time management issue.
Not at all. The documents trace this collapse back to what the medical literature calls the bad trio.
Okay, the bad trio. This is where we move from psychology into deep biology.
Yes, the trio consists of maternal immune activation, gut dysbiosis, and mitochondrial impairment.
All right, let's slow down and define those because that is some heavy medical terminology.
Farah?
Maternal immune activation. Like, what does that actually mean in the context of an adult founder?
Well, essentially, it starts before you were even born. If a mother gets a severe infection or experiences massive inflammation during pregnancy, her immune response can cross the placenta.
Oh, wow. So it actually affects the fetus.
Exactly. This immune activity can slightly alter how the fetal brain develops, particularly in the dopamine and inflammatory pathways.
So it basically primes the individual's nervous system to be highly sensitive and prone to neuroinflammation later in life.
Exactly. The baseline sensitivity is already dialed way up from day one.
Okay, then you add the second and third parts, gut dysbiosis, which means the bacteria in your stomach are completely out of balance, right?
Right. And then mitochondrial impairment.
Meaning the actual power plants inside your cells are failing to produce energy efficiently.
Precisely. So when you have an individual with that biological baseline caught in that relentless extraction cycle of stress, coffee, and alcohol,
they aren't just tired.
No, they are inducing severe, chronic, systemic dysregulation across their entire body.
And that is the mechanism driving that terrifying statistic we mentioned at the start.
Exactly.
That systemic dysregulation, the cellular exhaustion, the constant low-grade inflammation, that is what drives that 7 to 9 year mortality gap.
It's not just that people with ADHD forget to look both ways and get into more car accidents.
Right. Their actual physiological hardware is degrading at an accelerated rate.
Standard medicine seems to treat this like a software glitch, like your Focus app crashed, so just take a pill to reboot it.
Yeah. But reading this, it's clearly a hardware meltdown. The whole engine is overheating from being overclocked for 20 years.
That is the exact shift in perspective we are talking about here. If standard medicine patches the software, Viriba's stated goal is to completely rebuild the hardware.
And their first step in doing that isn't actually medical, is it? It's conceptual.
Right. They take this entire cluster of traits away from the category of pathology or disorder, and they reclassify it as brain capital.
Now, I understand brain capital as an economic metric.
Yeah, exactly.
Because the World Economic Forum at Davos actually released data showing that brain capital, which they define as brain health combined with brain skills, is a critical economic infrastructure.
They estimate it's capable of unlocking like $6.2 trillion in global GDP.
That's a massive number.
It's huge. Mm. And Viriba positions its SYL system, the Surf Your Life program, specifically to protect and optimize this economic asset.
Because they argue that these highly sensitive, fast-moving brains are literally the engines of innovation.
Yeah, the strategy documents break this down into a really interesting three-part framework.
Oh, right. Here's where it gets really interesting. They analyze every single trait these individuals possess through this lens of the strength, the rock, and the road.
Let's use hyperfocus as the classic example to see how that framework operates.
Okay, so the strength is pretty obvious.
Yeah.
When this type of brain locks onto a problem it finds fascinating, it can produce in hours what takes a standard neurotypical brain weeks to accomplish.
It is an undeniable, massive competitive advantage in business.
But then comes the rock, the obstacle.
Right. The rock is that you cannot consciously choose when that hyperfocus fires.
You avoid crucial but mundane tasks until they become a massive crisis. You completely neglect your relationships. You forget to eat. Your physical health just evaporates.
All because you are entirely consumed by the work right in front of you.
Which leads to the road. The road is the future that opens up once you clear the rock.
Exactly. It's learning how to architect your environment and your biology to trigger that hyperfocus deliberately.
You build protection systems around your health and your family so that when you do dive deep into the work, you get the extraordinary output, but you eliminate all that collateral wreckage.
And they back this up with what they call the VUCA argument. VUCA standing for volatile, uncertain, complex, and ambiguous.
So the argument is that these fast, nonlinear ADHD brains aren't actually defective at all.
No. They are perfectly calibrated for the modern, chaotic VUCA world.
The friction just comes from the fact that they're constantly being measured against an outdated, linear, industrial world.
Right, the old 9-to-5 model.
Okay, I have to step in and play the skeptic here for a second.
Go for it.
Because if you're listening to this and your life feels like a mess, this might sound a bit hollow. Reframing ADHD as a superpower calibrated for a VUCA world is great for morale, but practically speaking, how does that help a founder whose liver is failing from evening alcohol use and whose spouse is walking out the door?
That's very fair.
I mean, mindset alone isn't going to fix a collapsing physiological life. How do they actually physically build this road?
That is the exact right question.
Yeah.
And it is where Viriba really separates its clinical approach from just like standard executive coaching.
Okay.
To build that road, they do not start with a mindset shift or talk therapy.
Right. The first 3 weeks of their 10-week program are entirely focused on a hard biological intervention they call metabolic psychiatry.
Yes. Mm. Metabolic psychiatry.
So they're starting with lab tests, not couches.
Highly advanced lab tests. They use BioVie's diagnostics to look for structural failures in the body's machinery.
Right, like they test for leaky gut by measuring the levels of a protein called zonulin in the blood.
Exactly. And they test for that mitochondrial dysfunction we talked about by measuring specific metabolic markers like lactate, pyruvate, and L-carnitine.
Because, I mean, if those power plants are failing, your brain literally doesn't have the energy to regulate its own attention.
You physically can't do it, and it all connects back to the gut.
Right.
When your gut microbiome is altered by stress and poor diet, your body experiences a severe drop in what are called short-chain fatty acids, or SCFAs.
Okay, let's unpack this. Why do we care about SCFAs? Like, what is the mechanism there?
Under normal conditions, these fatty acids are produced in your gut. They travel through your bloodstream, easily cross the blood-brain barrier, and essentially act as a cooling system for your brain.
So they keep inflammation down.
Right. When your gut is wrecked and SCFA production drops, you lose that cooling system. The result is direct neuroinflammation.
Your brain is physically inflamed.
Exactly.
So how do they fix it? This is where the documents introduce an intervention that genuinely shocked me.
Oh, the KMT?
Yeah, ketogenic metabolic therapy, or KMT.
It is radical, but the clinical data in these sources is absolutely staggering.
Yeah, they found that if a patient uses a strict ketogenic diet to maintain their blood beta-hydroxybutyrate,
or BHB, which is a specific ketone.
Right, if they maintain that between 3.0 and 5.0 millimoles per liter, it results in the full transdiagnostic remission of ADHD symptoms.
Which is huge.
Wait, hold on. I have to push back on that claim.
Okay.
You are saying that simply changing what an entrepreneur eats for lunch puts a complex neurological condition like ADHD into full remission. That sounds like a massive exaggeration.
Oh, no, it sounds totally impossible.
Like, how is a metabolic shift fixing an executive functioning disorder?
It sounds wild until you look at the mechanism. When you run a highly sensitive ADHD brain on glucose, so sugar and carbs,
yeah,
it's like trying to run a massive high-end server farm on a fluctuating solar grid.
Oh, I see.
The power spikes when the sun is out, and it crashes when a cloud passes. Worse, burning glucose creates a lot of oxidative stress.
Which is literally cellular exhaust fumes that inflame the brain.
Right.
Okay, so glucose is a dirty, unpredictable fuel.
Exactly. But ketones, specifically BHB, act like a stable nuclear reactor. They provide a continuous, massive supply of clean baseline power.
Wow.
They burn cleaner with less oxidative stress. They easily cross the blood-brain barrier. And most importantly, they actually alter the balance of neurotransmitters in the brain.
They shift the brain away from glutamate, which is excitatory and causes anxiety, and increase GABA, which is the brain's primary calming chemical.
Yeah, you are literally changing the chemical environment of the brain by changing the fuel source.
That is fascinating. And the clinical documents note that the moment these patients eat sugar and drop out of ketosis, the server farm just crashes again.
Yep. The symptoms rush right back because the inflammation returns immediately.
And to accelerate the repair of those damaged cells, the Swiss Longevity Hub employs some serious technological infrastructure, right?
Oh, absolutely. They use IHHT, which is intermittent hypoxic hyperoxic training.
Which, if I understand correctly, is basically putting a mask on the patient and rapidly alternating between oxygen-rich and oxygen-poor air.
Yeah, it's like extreme high-altitude training for your cells.
Literally forcing the weak, damaged mitochondria to die off so the body is forced to generate new, highly efficient ones.
That's exactly how it works.
Yeah.
And they combine that with PEMF, pulsed electromagnetic field therapy.
Which uses magnetic waves to stimulate cellular repair.
Right. Along with deep infrared treatments to reduce tissue inflammation.
It's treating the body like an elite machine. Let's think of it this way. If you have a high-consumption Ferrari engine, you can't run it on cheap fuel and expect it not to misfire.
Exactly. The engine is remarkable, but the fuel is wrong.
And once you fix the power supply, the system stops corrupting. The biological floor is stabilized.
But here's the problem. You still have a founder who has spent 15 or 20 years building terrible psychological habits just to survive.
Right. Fixing their gut microbiome doesn't magically fix their marriage.
No, and it doesn't instantly erase a lifetime of procrastination either.
So how does Vita Reba tackle that psychological wreckage?
This is where we transition from biology to psychology and where the sources dive into how Vita Reba completely rejects traditional linear talk therapy.
Right. They use a framework called synergetics.
Synergetics is just a fascinating way to view human change. Traditional therapy usually assumes change is a linear path, right?
You sit on a couch, you talk about a problem, and you slowly, incrementally get better.
Exactly. But synergetics, which actually comes from physics, recognizes that human beings are complex, chaotic systems, meaning change is almost never a straight line.
And to track this chaos, they utilize something called the Synergetic Navigation System, or SNS.
Yeah, and this isn't just a weekly check-in. It is high-frequency, daily monitoring.
They are tracking the patient's emotional and physiological fluctuations every single day.
Right, and they do this to look for moments of what they term critical instability.
Think of critical instability like a spinning top. Right before a spinning top completely changes its direction, it starts to wobble violently.
Yes, perfect analogy. In synergetics, that emotional or psychological wobble isn't a breakdown. It is the necessary precursor to a breakthrough.
It's a phase transition.
Exactly. By tracking the daily data, the clinicians can actually see the breakthrough coming before the patient is even consciously aware of it.
And what blew my mind in these documents is how they tie this tracking directly into the concept of embodiment.
Oh, yeah.
This is the idea that the brain and the body are not a master and a servant. They are one continuous bidirectional system.
They track this using aura rings to monitor heart rate variability, or HRV.
Right. HRV is essentially a measure of how adaptable and recovered your nervous system is.
And this is the detail I really want you to hear because it completely upended my understanding of willpower.
Same here.
The research in these documents shows that in goal-oriented actions, the physiological signal from your heart actually leads the body's physical movements.
It is profound. Your autonomic nervous system is physically signaling your capacity and intent before your brain even fires the conscious command to your muscles.
Right. If you are listening to this right now and you have ever found yourself staring at a crucial, easy email for 3 days, absolutely paralyzed to send it.
This explains exactly why.
Yes. If your HRV is tanked because you are burned out, your biological capacity to execute your goals is blocked at the chest.
Your nervous system is saying no before your brain can say yes.
Which perfectly explains why brute force willpower simply does not work for these founders in the long term.
And that biological reality ties directly into the psychological framework they use, which is Julius Kuhl's PSI theory.
Yes, let's unpack PSI theory, especially regarding how it explains motivation and procrastination.
Because for a neurotypical person, procrastination is usually just a time management issue.
Right.
But for the ADHD brain, PSI theory reveals that procrastination is not laziness, it is an ignition failure.
An ignition failure is the perfect term. The dopamine system in an ADHD brain does not fire based on obligation.
He literally does not care that a task is important or due tomorrow by 5 p.m.
No, the neurological ignition only catches on specific sparks. Genuine interest, extreme urgency, high challenge, or deep passion.
So what happens when a high-performing founder is constantly forcing themselves to do tasks based purely on obligation?
It's a disaster.
When they're using sheer, exhausting willpower to override their own biological ignition system day after day.
They experience what Kuhl defines as motive incongruence. This is the friction that destroys founders.
Motive incongruence happens when you are striving for explicit, outward goals, like hitting a revenue target or pleasing investors that completely violate your implicit internal biological needs for autonomy or genuine interest.
You are striving for something your body actively rejects.
Exactly. And the body doesn't just ignore this incongruence, it interprets it as a literal threat.
This internal conflict acts as a hidden stressor that continuously spikes your cortisol levels.
You are in a constant, invisible fight with your own motivational architecture.
And that chronic cortisol spike leads directly back to the systemic biological dysregulation, the neuroinflammation, and the burnout we discussed at the very beginning.
It is a closed loop of destruction.
Right. So when the Vitoriba Clinic names this program Surf Your Life, they aren't just using a catchy wellness slogan.
No, they literally mean stop fighting the chaotic, nonlinear waves of your own neurobiology.
Stop trying to force your nervous system to operate like a linear machine and learn how to ride the phase transitions instead.
That is the exact essence of the SYL system.
You stop trying to force the nuclear reactor to act like a AAA battery.
You stabilize the biological floor using metabolic psychiatry. You track the chaotic fluctuations of the mind using synergetics.
And you align your daily actions with the sparks that actually cause your dopamine system to fire organically.
Which removes that hidden stressor entirely.
Exactly.
Bringing all these threads together, the clean fuel of ketones, the high-frequency tracking of the spinning top, repairing the collateral damage of the partner burden.
It is a massive paradigm shift.
Mm-hmm.
And it all points to one ultimate non-negotiable goal.
And achieving that goal requires a fundamental reframe of how we view high-level work.
Right. The entire Vitareba philosophy hinges on this one absolute truth. Recovery is not the opposite of performance.
Not at all.
It is the absolute prerequisite for it.
Elite athletes understand this intimately. They program their recovery as strictly as their training.
But elite corporate executives have completely forgotten it.
You cannot extract peak cognitive performance indefinitely without aggressively replacing the biological and psychological resources you are burning.
That is the ultimate destination of the road in their framework.
The goal isn't to dull the founder down.
No, it's about keeping the passion, keeping the blinding speed, and protecting that visionary thinking that makes these individuals so successful in the first place.
But entirely stopping the physiological and personal destruction that usually comes attached to it.
So what does this all mean for you listening right now?
Yeah. Whether you have a formal ADHD diagnosis or you simply live and work in an intensely high-stress, complex VUCA world.
The takeaway is unavoidable. You cannot optimize your output without deliberately building the infrastructure to support your recovery.
Reframing your mindset will not save you if your cellular engine is running on inflammatory fuel and your nervous system is locked in a constant state of emergency.
It really forces you to look at the modern workplace through a completely different lens.
Which leaves us with a final provocative thought to ponder. If our brains are actually these highly sensitive, self-organizing, dynamic biological systems.
Systems that require very specific metabolic and environmental infrastructure to thrive.
Right. Is it possible that the rigid, linear, 9-to-5 corporate structure isn't just outdated? Is it possible that it is actively biologically toxic to the world's most innovative minds?
It really makes you wonder how much brain capital we are just burning. Simply because we refuse to upgrade the infrastructure.
It really does. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive.